Wednesday, 23rd of January, Yud Beis Shvat, Harav David Altman, the real meaning of Emuna.
First of all, it's a big schuss to come and say these few divrei Torah. But we have to keep to time, so I'll begin right away. The first of the Aseres HaDibros, which we will be reading next week, the first of the Ten Commandments, the Aseres HaDibros, is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mi'Beis Avodim. The Ramban says, Zu Mitzvah Saseh. Why is he saying Zu Mitzvah Saseh? Because it just says a statement. It's a Mitzvah Saseh. Ne'ma, it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Leman Sheyedu v'yaminu Hashem hu Elokim. Sheyedu v'yaminu. You should know and you should believe. And here, Isaac, here's the question. If I know something, what's there for me to believe beyond all reasonable doubt? If I know that here is a cell phone, I don't have to now believe that there's a cell phone there. So what is the man Yedu v'yaminu? And it's not only the Ramban who says this. In fact, it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Atem eidain u'm Hashem va'avdi asher bochalti lema'an sheteidu v'ta'aminu li. You should know and should believe in. V'tavinu ki ani hu lefanai lo noitza el v'acharai lo yiyeh. Again, what is the emunah that comes after the yediyah? And I looked at the translations, and it all says you should believe. Harav Dessler says that here the word, this word emunah is, has a different meaning. What is the meaning? Chazal say, Odom Badin, when a person comes upstairs after 120 years, by the way, what bracha do you give a Jew on his 120th birthday? Have a nice day. Yeah. A person, Odom Badin, the first question that they ask him, in nosato venatato be'emuna. If you are honest in your business dealings. Says Rav Dessler, here the word emuno means to be honest. What's it got to do with it? And here we're going to learn a yesod, gentlemen, a yesod in chinuch of parents to children and maybe among mechanchim, which I would like to talk to you about. Yediyah is here. This is the yediyah. Place for yediyah. Your knowledge came from your head. But the important thing is not just the yediyah. What's important in the, after the yediyah is the v'hashevoisa el levovecha. Hashevoisa el levovecha is telling us to be honest with yourself by what you know academically. In other words, in simple English, to internalize that knowledge that it becomes a part of you. In fact, this Shabbos in 2 weeks' time will be the yahrzeit of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, it takes 90 years of Avodas Hashem to travel a distance of 30 centimeters. From here to here. From the head to the heart. The obstacles that are lying on that bridge of Hakino, Vahataiva, Vahakov, and all the Midasois, which prevents a person internalizing it. But the important thing is, this is the importance of chinuch, is not just teaching the yediyah. The importance of chinuch is of internalizing it, making it a part of our children's lives. Because if we don't, it remains yediyah, and we can, who knows what can happen with it. When we are being oivdei Hashem, I want to tell you a few incidences, stories, just to teach you this message. When I was living for a short time in Australia, over 24 years ago, the Rosh Kollel over there of the Beis HaTalmud, the Lakewood Kollel in Melbourne, told me a story about a conversation between a Jew and Reb Moshe Feinstein in America, where he was an ear and eye witness. That Jew asked Reb Moshe a shaila. He said, hundreds of thousands of Yidden left Eastern Europe to come to the United States at the turn of the 20th century. Most of these people were Yidden Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. But the biggest Nisoyan coming to the United States was Shabbos. It was a 7-day week. Most of these people failed the Nisoyan. And so you can imagine where their children are today. But he asked him, he says, thousands, tens of thousands of Yidden were not willing to be Machalal Shabbos. Were not willing to be Machalal Shabbos. And they had to find 52 jobs a year. You understand the number. Why did people who were Meisa Nefesh for Shabbat, for keeping Shmirat Shabbos, why was it, he asked, that 90% of their children switched off their Yiddishkeit? Zu Teure the Zu Schoro? And Reb Moshe answered him, because of the Mesiros Nefesh of the parents to keep Shabbos, their children gave up their Yiddishkeit. The person who told me the story said he was standing over there with his tongue hanging out. And now Reb Moshe explained what he meant. He says, a person who comes home Friday afternoon and says to his children, children, I lost my job because I'm not working on Shabbos. We have to stand up and be counted. And we have to be Mesiros Nefesh, we have to keep Shabbos. A person who says that to his child, 20 years later, his child says to dad, you had the psychological strength, I don't. Bye-bye. A person who comes home on a Friday afternoon, and he says, children, let's drink a l'chaim, I just now lost my job for Shabbos. Reb Moshe said, simcha, joy, is contagious. Mesiros nefesh is not contagious. You can't be machanich to Mesiros nefesh. This is what happens. A child who sees in the father the joy it is to keep Shabbos and even to lose his job because of Shabbos, that kid has internalized what is internalized in his father's heart. But Mesiros Nefesh is something chitzoni, it's something external. Unfortunately, this is what's happening to us today. Harav Dessler once asked a very interesting question. He said this, gentlemen, what would happen if you had a phone call from the country's, the state lottery, as they call it, the lottery. You bought a lottery ticket, and you got a phone call that you've just now won £100,000. How would you feel? We'd all feel wonderful. What would happen if 2 weeks later you got a phone call, you've just now won £200,000? And a week later, you get another phone call. You've just now won £300,000. You'll go crazy. It's unlikely, but I'm saying, it's unlikely, but you'll go crazy with simcha. He says, what would happen if your next door neighbor came to you and he said, Moshele, do you know something? I just now won £100,000 on the lottery. You say, Mazel Tov, why? Gewaltig, fantastic. Give me the Meisergeld. Yeah. And if he comes a week later and he says, I just now won 200,000. And 3 weeks later, 300,000. You know what you'll tell him after the third week? You'll say, look, Moshele, just get off my back. Thank you for all the good news. He said, why? Because it's not happening to you. It's something external happening to somebody else. And he asks the question, he says this. Why is it when we come to a Yom Tov, when we come to a Yom Tov, the first day Yom Tov, Sukkot, Pesach, gewaltig! But as the days go by, you're coming towards the end of Pesach, 2 days before Pesach, we're soon taking the chametz out. He says, the Sabbath of Kelim, the altar of Kelim, you could see his face shining day after day, more and more, as the Yom Tov went by. But with us, It is, as Beis Shammai says in Chanukah, Poiches v'hoilech. Beis Shammai is Midas Adin. Beis Shammai is Midas Ha'emes. And he says, light the lights the way it has to be done, because the Emes is with you, it is Poiches v'hoilech. You know why? Because it's external. It's not happening to us. We're doing it. But are we doing it? We'll soon see the words I want to tell you about. I have a Yedid Nefesh in Eretz Yisrael. His name is Yehuda Peretz. He lives in Kiryat Sefer. Yehuda Peretz, 27 years ago, his name was Alberto Diaz. He was a Roman Catholic priest in Mexico from Veracruz. And he had questions. He became a Geul Tzedek because of it. And I was with him on a lecture tour of the United States, where he would tell his story every evening. I had to give different lectures every evening. And he gave the same lecture 7-8 times, where we were together all the time. So I heard his lecture 8 times, so I know it like Ashrei Yoshev Yisrael. And in his lecture he said, he explained why he started asking questions. Anyway, he met a rabbi in Borough Park. And he asked this rabbi, could you answer certain questions that I have? And he did. I found out later on that the rabbi is a mishpocha of mine, so I could check out whether his story was correct in what he had said. They had a few sessions. He asked questions, got answers. At the end of all the sessions, he says, Rabbi, I want to convert. And the rabbi said to him, my Torah tells me that you don't have to convert, you can keep Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, we don't missionarize Gentiles. But if you want to be Jewish, I have to warn you. You're accepting upon yourself 613 major difficult obligations, and you don't have to do it. But I have to warn you this. This is what my Torah tells me to tell you. And he said, what? He said, so he gave the whole story all over again. The whole story. And he said, he didn't say then what, he said, no Rabbi, you're wrong. And I'm going to be Jewish. I remember the rabbi told me afterwards, he said, Der Goyzek is going to tell me what Yiddishkeit is about, that I'm wrong. He said, Rabbi, I'm not going to accept upon myself 613 major difficult obligations. I'm accepting upon myself 613 major privileges. Zchuyot. The rabbi told me afterwards, when I heard this from him, I could see that this boy is serious. 18 months later, he was already a Jew. Moreover, Aboisai, we have to ask ourselves, are we doing things because it's obligations or because of privileges? It's a privilege. If it's a privilege, we can give it over to the next generation. I'll tell you one other thing, which will get to the point I want to make over here. It's an extremely important point. I don't know if there are any teachers over here, cheder rebbes or teachers, or mechanchim. No, I can imagine. I also thought so. I want to ask you, what do you say about a cheder rebbe who stands up 3 o'clock in the afternoon and he says, children, take out your sidurim, turn to page 65, we have to daven mincha, let's all say it together, Ashrei Yoshev Yisrecha Oid Yalu Chasela. What do you say about such a rebbe? I've asked this question. Perfectly. Certainly all right. And the answer is, I tell them, I believe, because of the hemshech of the story, I believe that this rebbe just now murdered his class. Even though he might not have meant it, but a certain word enters the ears of the children, and they don't analyze what the rabbi's saying, the teacher's saying. You know what he said? We have to daven mincha. And the word have to daven mincha means, to a child, we don't want to daven mincha, but of course we'll daven mincha because we have to daven mincha. Why do I tell you this? Because I got a wake-up call about this from a letter of a Kollel younger man who wrote a letter to the Yated Ne'eman in Eretz Yisrael, and in it he says, I'm a Kollel younger man, he must be at least 28, 29 years old, something like that, and I'm waiting every day for the Zman Tefillah. I'm waiting for the Zman Tefillah. Why? Because of my Rebbe in Cheder. How old was he then? 6, 7, 8? He's now 28, 29. And he says his Rebbe in Cheder, in the afternoon, 3 o'clock, he would say, children, the Ribbono Shel Olam is in this room now. He wants to talk to us. And we can talk to him. And if you have schusim, everything that you ask for, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer. Do you know what his schusim says? That the Ribbono Shel Olam is coming into this room to talk to you, and we can talk to him. The schus, let's daven together. Ashrei Yoshrei Beisecha. Do you hear the difference? He was mechanech them to want to daven mincha, not we have to daven mincha. Nobody ever says when they're going out for evening to eat in a restaurant, we say, come on children, we have to eat supper in a restaurant. We want to eat supper in a restaurant. This is a yesoid. This is a yesoid that we have to internalize into our children, and we have to know. Our children are looking at our parents, at their parents, under microscopes. Looking for inconsistencies, hypocrisies. Anything that you do, to see are we doing it because we want to do it? In other words, we've internalized the Vahashevoi Sa'el of Ovecha. Or are we doing it because we have to do it? I live in Bnei Brak. I was taking an Avrech back home one day, Motzi Shabbos, we davened Maariv, and I went home with him to his home. He walked into his house, and he said to his wife and children, Shavua Tov, a gute Woch everybody, and he zoomed in onto his email. And I told him afterwards, I want you to know, you just murdered your kids. What you did? I said, what did I do? I was Machalav Shabbos. I already said Havdol in Ma'ariv. I already said Havdol. Okay, I haven't yet made Havdol in home. But I do. What did I do? No, you did nothing wrong. Everything al pi halacha was perfect. But the very fact that you said to your kids, Shavua Tov, Agut Voch, and you zoomed in on your email, you sent a message to your children that Shabbos to me is a headache. My email's so important. Sister, what do you want me to do? Sit down. Make Havdalah. Sing a Zemel. Have a cup of coffee. And then say, okay, children, walk slowly to your computer and you can check your email. This is a Yesod in Chinuch, that they're watching us, what we're doing. And this is the Yesod which Reb Moshe Feinstein said. Reb Moshe said that the whole idea, I want to ask you a question. If there's anybody in this room ever thought of asking this question of any of his teachers from the day he was born till today? Did anybody ever ask this question? I never asked until I saw a sefer where they asked it with the answer of the Maharal. Did anybody think of asking the question, why is it a halacha l'Moshe Misinai that a sefer, Stam, writing a sefer Torah, has to write the sefer in 5 Sforim? And there were laws, you know how he has to start on a new column, the new sefer, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim. Why? Why 5? Why not 7? 7's a nice Jewish number. Shabbos, Shemitah. 8 says the Maharal is Lamaila min Ateva, Bris Mila, Shmoina Begodim of a Kohen. Has anybody in this room ever thought of even asking the question? I'm not sure. I'm sure every one of you will say we never ever thought about it. Nor did I in my life. Until I saw this sefer. And he answers, the Maharal says, the reason why it's got to be written in five sforim, because the word five is chamisha, and chamisha are the oisius of the word simcha. Shin men ches hei, ches men shin hei. I haven't found the Maharal, although he stated in the Shema Maharal. Pikudei Hashem Yeshorim Mesamchei Lev. When do we feel that Torah? If it's Mesamchei the Lev, Simcha is something internal. Simcha is not something of Yediyah, of something external. And for that reason, and Simcha is not, Simcha isn't standing on some van with loudspeakers on it dancing on the roof. Chazal say, "Kishem shemavochim al hatova, kach mavochim al hara." And what did Chazal say? Although we know that the nusach habrocha is different, one is hatova ametiv, the other one is dayan ha'emes. Sheyekablu yesurim besimcha. What do we mean? Kablu yesurim besimcha? How can you have simcha in kablu yesurim? Chas v'sholem, a person is nifty, you're going to make a kiddush in shul. It's yesurim. It seems that the Rambam had this shaila. And what does the Rambam write? Kishem shemavochim al hatova, kach mavochim al hara. Says the Rambam, sheyekablu yesurim benefesh tova. He explains the word simcha. What's nefesh tova? Says Rav Dessler, inner harmony, feeling good with yourself. Yes, it's painful. But mevorach Hashem, gamzu l'tova, kol mada ovid rachmona l'tavorid, don't get uptight, don't get nervous, don't shout. That's what he's saying, nefesh tova. Says Rav Dessler, what is simcha? Simcha is inner harmony, feeling good with yourself. That is what simcha is. When we're performing a mitzvah, when we're performing Avodas Hashem, feel good with yourself. That's not something up here. This is the V'hashevoisa el levovecho. And this is the importance of what we're doing, in Avodas Hashem. Children have to see this. Our students have to see this. And if they see it, they will go b'derech ha-Torah. But if chas v'sholem they're going to see, if anybody ever says this, these words, es ist schwer zu sein Ayid. It's difficult to be Jewish. Kasher liyot Yehudi. He's poisoning the minds of his children. This is the yesod of emuna, of internalizing it into ourselves. And in this, we have to have a hashkofa. We have to have hashkofa and become. And I'm saying to you as parents or machanchim, when we're sitting at the table on Friday night. To internalize through stories to our children, internalize the schus. It's no wonder, as I said, that Gil Tzedek, Chazal say that the Geri Tzedek are a kituk against Am Yisrael. Why? Because Geri Tzedek do things because they want to do it. They're not doing it because they have to do it. The same thing we have to do, internalize that hashkofa into them. The schus it is to be able to live chaye emes. And when a child sees chaye, he sees emes, he never ever feels, he feels strong in himself and nothing can ever change his derech. Vadai, there's a yetzahora out there. But he'll be able to learn, he'll be able to carry on b'derech Hashem. This is what I wanted to share with you. That the yesod, that this is the whole yesod of learning. And I want you to know, if we don't do it, kids are going to grow up with a certain emptiness within themselves. They're doing it, but there's an emptiness within them. They don't, as we call it, connect. And if they don't connect, then there's a yetzer hara outside. That Yetzer Hara outside can change their lives, and you'll wonder, how is it my children went wrong? And that Yetzer Hara side is going to be iPods, iPads and iPhones. And it's becoming murder. In the United States of America, it's a tragedy. A tragedy among frommer kinder are being mechallel Shabbos with these machines. And you don't take the machines away. Fill the emptiness inside them that they're escaping from. And that emptiness is the v'hashavosa el levavecha. If we will internalize it in them, they'll always feel good. I want to end with an interesting story. I thought this is just, you know there were lawyer stories in every country, stories about lawyers. Until I told this story in the United States, and a gentleman jumped up in the middle of the story and he said, Rabbi, why are you saying it's a story? I was there. It's a true story. The story is, it happened in Philadelphia in a court of law, 1972. He told me. And you know what the story is like this. A person was charged with homicide, with murder. The evidence against him was overwhelming. Overwhelming. He took a defense attorney, and he tried to defend the young man, the person. But it was very, very difficult, his client. At the end of the case, as you know, it's trial by jury in the United States. The prosecuting attorney addresses the jury and then the defense. The gentleman gets up, the prosecutor gets up and he says, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to make any great speeches. You've seen over the last few days the evidence produced to you in court, and the law demands that with all the evidence put in front of you, beyond all reasonable doubt, you have to find the accused guilty. Thank you very much. Sits down. The defense lawyer gets up. He's got nothing to say. He stands up in front of the jury and he says, members of the jury, I want you to know, I'm certain you're convinced of the guilt of my client. Well, I want you to know this whole case is the biggest lie in history. Sheker v'chozov. If you will look at the entrance to this courtroom, in the next 60 seconds, the person a client is accused of killing will walk in alive and kicking. 30, 40, 50, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Nobody walks in. He says to the jury, members of the jury, if you're so convinced of the guilt of my client, why did you look at the entrance to this courtroom? In other words, you have a doubt. Maybe. The law demands if you have any doubt as to the guilt of my client, you have to find him not guilty. Thank you very much. Sits down. The judge sends out the jury. The jury are out there for half an hour, come back. Gentleman stands up, he represents the jury. The judge asks him, the accused has to stand up. Do you find the accused guilty or not guilty? We find the accused guilty. The defense lawyer says, I'll take this case to the High Court. I showed you that you had a doubt and you should have found him not guilty. And the representative of the jury says, you're right. We all looked at the entrance to this courtroom. We all looked at the entrance to this courtroom. But there was one thing we saw that you didn't see. He said, what was that? The accused didn't look at the entrance to the courtroom. He who knows the emes never looks over his shoulder. Emuna, we give them the yediyah. There's a ribbono shel olam, the Torah, and he's given us the emes. If we internalize this emes into them, it's part of them. We not only know the emes, we feel it. We've internalized it. This is emuna. We're honest with ourselves. This is the true emunah. But I just want to say one word. There's another word connected with the word emunah. You know what that is? In Hebrew, when you do exercises, how do you call this? La'amen. A person who adopts a child, You call that person, that family, we call it a mishpacha, omenet. What's all this omenet? You know what that is? That's the next stage. You can feel it, you can know it in your mind. You can feel it in your heart. It's a part of you. But how will you feel next week? Peiches v'heilich. The whole idea of mitzvahs is to act. Keep that emunah alive. A mishpacha omenet. Adopting a child, taking raw material and building him through action. That's why they're called Vayhi Oimein Adaso. She was adopted by Mordechai. That is to build the person. So we have the idea, we have the emuna, and the next stage is the imun, the exercise, talis, tefillin, mitzvahs. Keep that emuna alive 24 hours a day. This is how we live. And if we give this over to our children, besimcha, with joy, the child sees the joy and the wanting to do it, not we have to do it, then that child is going to say, Daddy, we travel together through life. And we should be zeicher with this to Abias Girl Tzedek, b'mheira v'yomeinu, amen.